This is the Doug Marrone Show.
The Doug Marrone Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Marrone Show starts right now.
Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marrone, the Jags and the Seattle Seahawks coming up Sunday, 4:25. Big one, coach. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I say big one, but you've said all week, hey, we're not going there. It's the start of the fourth quarter, and the talk's going to be outside the building, and that's okay. But inside, you're focused on the next week's game. That's it.
And we are. I mean, we're focused on, obviously, the fourth quarter, and we understand that all the stuff on the outside. But, you know, again, in the NFL, I mean, you're going out there each week, and you're just trying to win. And that's where all your focus is. Because if you take your focus anywhere else, it's not going to help the cause for better. And then for our team, you know, we have a young football team. So I always try to tell the team, hey, let's just focus on today, and let's do everything we can to make sure that we could have a good performance on Sunday.
Well, and they're all big. I mean, look, December games are always big when you're talking about, you know, having an opportunity to one, win the division, two, get an opportunity to play past the regular season. But the hard part is you just got to treat it like it's normal. I mean, the preparation still doesn't change. The game doesn't change.
I agree with you. It doesn't, you know, and you can't let, you know, everything get you out of whack as far as how your preparation is or prepare. And, you know, it comes from outside, like, you know, it's natural. You know, more people are calling for tickets. More people want to know what you're doing for dinner after the game. You know, it goes to that. You know, hey, we're coming into town. We're really excited for, and you know, like it goes from myself to, you know, the coaches to the players, and you just try to say, hey, listen, you know, we've got to, you know, handle that business, obviously, because it's most of the time it's family and we love them. But at the end of the day, we've got to make sure that we're all together on this, that if any one of us loses our focus or lack of preparation, like you said, you know, then obviously that can be an Achilles heel for us when we go out there to try to perform on Sunday.
But the build up and everything, that the energy that comes into the building on Sunday can help you guys in that regard, right?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, you play a game in three phases. You play it in offense, defense, and special teams. And then I always talk about, you know, that fourth phase, which is, you know, your home field, which, you know, definitely changes. I think, you know, it's something that we're trying to earn the right to establish. I've said that, you know, multiple times, and I believe that. And, you know, we need to go out there and play well. And for, you know, obviously the fans that we've had have been great. And the more people that we have, obviously, can, you know, really, you know, decide the outcome of the game. And I know Jeff can talk about this a little bit, but I've been in games where we've gone on the road, especially, you know, later in the year, and it's quite difficult. It really is, because, you know, everything just gets a little bit more louder, you know, in those situations, and, you know, the momentum swings get a little bit greater, you know, to try to do it. So, you know, obviously it's an effective force come Sunday.
Yeah, the great thing about playing a team like Seattle, in my experience, is because you look the reality is they've won a Super Bowl. They've been in a couple of them. They've been a good football team. I think sometimes it has a tendency to kind of hone your focus a little bit. And look, you shouldn't need that. But playing good football teams and playing against good players, that's the kind of players that I like to surround myself with, and that I'm sure that you would like to have, that they can raise their level of play based on their opponent.
You're absolutely right. I think they're, you know, obviously Seattle's one of those teams that year in and year out have been in, you know, obviously in the hunt, you know, going to the Super Bowl and things of that nature. And, you know, that's the one thing, you know, I tried to explain to the players during the week. I said, hey, listen, we need to go about our business, and, you know, we need to do a good job this week. You know, Seattle's coming here. They've been here before. I mean, they go on the road and have to play. They have an excellent, you know, home field advantage when they play at home, you know, but for them just coming in here, they're just going to come in here and play, you know. And then for us, hey, listen, we just need to go play. We don't need to, you know, raise this or raise that or look at it differently or looking at it, you know, a different way, you know. And the one thing I will say about our team, you know, is that, you know, in the locker room, at practice this week, it's been great. I don't see anything that, you know, people talk about, hey, is your team going to be tight? Is your team going to be this? You know, they're going about this just like it's, you know, like they should, which is the first game of the fourth quarter.
Do you had any experiences with Pete Carroll at all through
no,
the years?
None.
None?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
That's kind of rare.
It is, really, because he's been at two different areas. You know, the Jets for a while, left college for a while. He's been back in the NFL for a long time, but you haven't had an interaction.
No. Yeah. No, we really have had none.
That's really crazy.
Never went to SC to play when he was with the Trojans?
No, never. I think it's the first time I've actually gone against him.
Couldn't get Syracuse to get them on the schedule back in the day?
No, we got them later on. You know, we played them in the old, I call it the Meadowlands, but it's MetLife now.
I don't think he wanted much of them when he was at SC. Question I have about December runs in the National Football League. Teams that are poised to make a run. Now, the Seahawks team is all about that. They always kind of make a run in December and then go rolling into the postseason. What are, over your time in the league, what are some characteristics of teams that can make a December run and really make some noise in the final quarter? What does that take?
Well, I think, you know, and I go back to Coach Parcells, you know, you got to be able to run the ball, you know, stop the run, and, you know, have one more point than the opposing team. And he didn't say that at the end. He just wrote, you know, December football is about, you know, being able to run the football, stop the run, and winning football games. And I think that's what, you know, obviously, you know, creates the object of the run. And, you know, I think, you know, it's, you know, you just got to keep working, keep pushing. I think, you know, a lot of times I've always been in the belief of, you know, the team that tackles well, you know, in December, you know, is a team that is the same thing. It goes back, you know, that running game. We get all enticed with the big plays and the big passing plays, and again, they can be momentum swings and things like that. But, you know, I think, you know, one of the keys is, you know, making sure that you're in manageable situations, or, you know, for our defense, putting other teams in, you know, tough managing situations on third down, you know, and be able to get opportunities and go. And you got to be able to play in December. You know, sometimes early on, a phase can get you out of a game, meaning that, you know, one of the phases, offense, defense, special teams, can play so strong that you can obviously win a game. But usually when you get down to December and you go beyond that, you know, the three phases of football have to play well for you to go ahead and win.
Interesting that you bring up Bill Parcells. I saw him here Sunday. Did you get a chance to catch up with him?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's a person that, you know, I'll talk to from time to time, and, you know, ask questions and rely on. And obviously, you know, Coach Coughlin's here, and he was obviously with Bill for a couple of years. And, you know, I'm fortunate that, you know, I've been around a lot of, you know, great coaches and great people. You know, my father-in-law is a Hall of Fame college coach, and people of that nature that, you know, really looking, they don't really have an agenda. They just want, you know, the best. And, you know, I'm one of those guys that, you know, I understand that I don't have all the answers and things of that nature. So when things pop into my head, you know, I've got Coach Coughlin, I've got Coach Parcells, I have, you know, my father-in-law, Boots Donnelly. And, you know, I have a lot of people that I can rely on and ask a lot of questions to, you know, just to try to, you know, just to make me better, because, you know, why am I any different than any of the players? I mean, you know, the players come in here every day. They're trying to get better. The coaches are trying to get better. And for myself as a head coach, I'm trying to get better each and every day. So, you know, I think collectively, I think when you don't feel like, if you're not working to get better, I think you're going to have, you know, problems coming in the future.
We're going to come back and get into the matchup this week, the Jags defense against Russell Wilson. He's playing at an MVP-type level right now for the Seattle Seahawks. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
We continue with head coach Doug Marrone, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Logman. The Seattle Seahawks come to town. 2-8-4 ball clubs this Sunday, 4:25, the kickoff time at Everbank Field. Russell Wilson playing at a very high level. He's the majority of the offense, the leading rusher on the football team. He causes havoc when he's running around the backfield 8, 10, 12 seconds before he either lets it go or runs when the defensive backs are chasing receivers. He's a problem is what he is, coach.
Yeah, I mean, I would call it a challenge.
Okay.
You know,
that's a better word.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a challenge. Obviously, he's having an MVP type season, and you know, there's, you know, you kind of ask yourself, you know, what can he do? You know, obviously, he can drop back, he can make all the throws. He has an excellent arm. He's a very accurate quarterback. You know, and at the same time, he can extend plays, and you know, if he feels like it. I mean, if he wants to extend it, he can extend it, and if he wants to take off, he can take off, and you know, it puts a lot of pressure on a defense, and you know, our defense, you know, has worked hard this week. And, you know, it's a matter of, you know, I don't think you ever go into a game and saying, hey, we're going to shut this guy down. I don't think he can do that with the way he's playing. You know, and having played against, you know, the Aaron Rodgers or the Brett Favres and people of that nature, you know, you just got to eliminate the play that's going to really shift the momentum. You know, knowing that, hey, listen, he's going to make some plays, you know, here and there, but just make sure those plays can't shift the momentum or change the game or things of that nature. And you try to use the word, hey, let's contain him, but you know, let's not get too frustrated if he does break one or something does happen, and let's get back to it. And really, discipline is really the key in it.
Yeah, well, watching the film against the Eagles this past Sunday night, you know, years ago when he was a younger player. And he got, you know, an all-out blitz, cover zero behind. I mean, he was automatically looking for an escape route. And against the Eagles, that one that he hit Doug Baldwin on the deep ball, I mean, talk about maturing. I mean, he stays in the pocket. He knows what he's got in the back end, and he waits on the route, and he has just enough time, and he gets rid of the ball, and he throws a beautiful ball.
He really does. I mean, he throws an excellent ball. It's a really good release, nice and high. And, you know, I think it's like you said, I think that, you know, what's a – like when I watch the film, to me, he just has an innate ability to do exactly what you said. In other words, when he wants to extend the play, he winds up getting big plays. And when he doesn't want to extend the play, he's able to run and get the first down. You know, and it's, you know, he has an amazing feel. It's going to be a great challenge for a defense. And, you know, it's one that we've got to be ready for on Sunday.
When I was watching the film, I was having this movie clip that popped into my mind, and it was Rocky Balboa chasing the chicken. Because it's kind of like that. I mean, you know, because he's so unique and gifted in his ability to change direction and keep people guessing when the rushers are coming at him. I mean, that's, you got to keep your feet alive and you got to keep coming with them.
Yeah. And, you know, and even when you say all that, you have to do all those things. And I am 100% agreement with, you know, the other thing is he's tough to bring down. You know, he has a great escapability, meaning when, you know, you've got to truly go in there and wrap him up. And a lot of times, you know, people talk about, you know, Ben Roethlisberger that way, that he's a big man in stature, and when you go in there, you have to wrap up, you know. But Russell Wilson, even though he might not big in stature from a height standpoint, he's thick and really put together. And he runs just as good as any running back in this league. And you got to make sure that you secure those tackles when he takes the ball and takes off with it.
Oh, go ahead, Lux.
It's just so unique. I mean, looking at the numbers, you know, right now Russell Wilson is 85.7% of their offense when you combine his passing numbers and his rushing numbers, which if he ends up completing the year at that level, it would just shatter the record that was previously held. I think it was like 81.8%, and it was John Kitna. I mean, I don't want to say he's a one-man band, but, I mean, that percentage is unbelievable. It's never been seen before.
Well, it hasn't, but I'll tell you, the skilled players around them are playing well. You know, Jimmy Graham's really doing a nice job as far as a matchup problem, you know, problem for teams or a challenge for teams. And, you know, in the last nine games, I believe he has 8 touchdowns. And, you know, the running backs are explosive, and they can run you over. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'd appreciate it if you guys can just, you know, tone it down a little bit, because I'm going to try to, you know, get some sleep tonight. I mean, you guys keep telling me, but I mean, I know I watch all this film during the week. I mean, that's why when I think, you know, when I say, hey, listen, this guy's having an MVP type season, he really is. But let's make sure that we understand that, you know, the skill players around them are very good, and the line up front, you know, they've had some injuries and have gone through some people, but, you know, they're very talented, you know, with Dwayne Brown there and Jokel there and Britt's there and, you know, Afidi from Texas A&M and, you know, whether it's Ibushi or Pasek at right guard. So, You know, there's a lot of talent, you know, around the team. And the thing about it is a lot of the focus gets put on Russell Wilson, you know, which it should. He deserves that. There's no doubt about it. But when you're playing and preparing against this team, you know, you got a defense that's a top 10 defense that's playing extremely well. And you got a very good special teams from a standpoint of speed and return ability in Lockett. So, you know, when you talk about, hey, a lot of the pressure is going to be, hey, our defense is going to be challenged with Russell Wilson, but, hey, our offense is going to be challenged, our special teams are going to be challenged, and all three phases are going to have to play well.
Let's get back and get into that Legion of Boom defense for the Seattle Seahawks and how the Jags offense will match up. This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
J.P. Shatter, Jeff Lagerman, head coach Doug Marrone. The Doug Marrone Show continues. Legion of Boom defense. A couple of pieces down. Chancellor's out. Richard Sherman's out. That doesn't mean they can't still play. They've got four or five Pro Bowlers on the field still, even with those guys out this week. It's just still a group that can do some damage.
Oh, obviously. I mean, they're playing extremely well. I think, you know, a lot of times when you see a defense, you know, year in and year out, the production that they've had, you know, and again, you know, they've lost, you know, obviously some great players with Chancellor having the ability to come back, you know, but it's and Jeff would notice when you play in those type of teams and you step on the field, they're the level of expectation that you have to play to, you know, because you have all those guys around you. And I think, you know, it starts up front. I think that they do an outstanding job up front. You know, they do a great job defending the run. They do an excellent job of putting pressure on the quarterback. You know, and then when you look at the linebacker position, you're talking about probably one of the best linebackers in the league in Wagner, who's, you know, I couldn't believe the stat when they said, you know, just imagine playing 11 games and not missing a tackle. I mean, it's outstanding. I mean, he does an outstanding job. He wraps. He has good instinct. He can run. He can make plays sideline to sideline, make plays deep, you know, in coverage. He can make plays up front. And then, you know, when you look, you know, Earl Thomas is an elite player. I mean, he does a great job. And, you know, the two corners, they got the one rookie from Central Florida that's come in. He's done a nice job and won a job for himself. You know, and the other corner is a veteran guy who came in from Philly, and the other safety is a veteran guy that came in from Tampa. So, you know, they've got guys that have played that have been productive, and it's going to be a great challenge for our offense, you know, come Sunday.
It's interesting you talk about how, you know, the expectation, because over the years of watching the Seahawks defense, I've always been impressed when – you know, because they, even though they had all these, you know, frontline guys, they played everybody on their depth chart for many years. And so you're watching the film this year, and yeah, you got the frontline guys, you know, the Earl Thomas and the Bobby Wagners and up front Michael Bennett and Frank Clark. But then all of a sudden you see guys rolling like Nazaire Jones, who's a rookie out of UNC, and you see him playing at a high level. Terrence Garvin, a linebacker, 52, and he's in the game, and all of a sudden he's showing up and he's flashing. And that's always been the impressive thing to me.
Yeah, and I think it's a credit to the coaching staff and the personnel department, you know, of these teams. It's a culture. I mean, you know, we talked about it early in the year with Pittsburgh. I think it's the same way. I mean, you know, the production stays at this level, and the names change as it keeps going. I think when you talk about the Ravens, it's the same way, you know, and that's something that you know, you want to aspire to from, you know, in all three phases. So, you know, for us, you know, we've got a good start for us. But again, like I said before, you know, we're talking about teams like Seattle and Pittsburgh that have done it year in and year out. And I think when you do it like that, people just come in and there's an expectation for them to play that way. And if they don't play that way, they're not going to be there that long. So, you know, they do a great job.
And from talking to some of the guys in Seattle, and it was a couple of years back, I remember talking, can't remember if it was with Pete Carroll or one of their guys on the defensive staff, but we were talking specifically about Earl Thomas. They talked about his preparation and how much study that he put in. And, you know, you talked about how he's an elite player. And when you watch him on film, you know, people say, well, does he guess? And I'm going, no. I mean, this guy has, first of all, he's got great instincts, but you can tell that he studies offenses and studies them at great length because he has great anticipation.
You know, there's no doubt, you know, that he studies. I mean, you can see it on film. You know, the one thing about this game is, you know, when people look on the outside and maybe it's a fan or someone that hasn't been part of the game and you look and go, you know, man, that guy's lucky. You know, well, you know, luck follows preparation. You know, it really does. And, you know, to be able to prepare and watch teams and watch route concepts and things of that nature and be able to break on the ball or read the quarterback or watch little things like that, I mean, you know, that's a credit to, you know, obviously the player and the coaches to make sure that those players are doing it. And, you know, that's one of the things that make a lot of players successful, especially, you know, when you look at players that play for a long period of time. You know, the one thing, obviously, outside of, you know, we all understand that they got to take care of their body. But, you know, technically, see, the way that this works is, you know, when you first come out, you know, your talent is working towards a peak, you know, like four or five, and all of a sudden. But then all of a sudden, when you get into your seven, eight, and you're still playing at a high level, well, it's because of all the preparation that you've done. Obviously, you've taken care of your body, but, you know, the technique and things like that. Because, obviously, at the end of someone's career, their skills may be diminishing a little bit. So what's going to make up for it? Their preparation, their technique, and things of that nature. You know, but, the guys we're talking about are in their prime and playing extremely well.
Got a question about your quarterback, Blake Bortles. You know, the offensive line has gone through a number of different lineups the last month and a half or so. Receivers have been banged up a little bit. The running backs have been rolling through. Fournette's been battling the ankle off and on. But the one constant has been Blake Bortles. He's been out there every time. He's taking hits. He's making some good throws, at least the last couple of weeks especially. What do you think of Blake's year so far, and how has he developed, and what do you see down the stretch here?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, he's done a great job, and you know we're extremely happy, and I think that, you know, when you talk about preparation and things of that nature, you know, he's putting in all the work. You know, he's here, you know, throughout the day, you know, all the time, you know, every single day, always working, always trying to get better, asking all the questions. And then, you know, I said this before about him, you know, the number one quality that, you know, I know I appreciate, and I think people, you know, his teammates appreciate, is how tough he is. I mean, you know, you're talking about someone that gets a lot of hits. You're talking about someone that plays, you know, fearless. He's not, he doesn't shy away. He doesn't duck away, you know, so, and it's someone that's, you know, that's been through a lot, you know, and he just continues to push. And I think that's what's important. You know, people saying out there, you know, you look at, you know, all the stuff that's gone on with him and all the things that are said about him, you know, but to still stay mentally strong and things of that nature is an outstanding job. And, you know, we need him to play well, and he understands that. And, you know, the better he plays, the better opportunity we have to win games.
And boy, last week, you know, coming off that week in Arizona where there were some drops, I thought the receivers for Blake really took a step up. Big, strong hands, nice catches, and it was across the board from, you know, Leonard Fournette, a one-handed catch, holy cow, Marquise Lee, a high ball in the end zone, one-handed catch behind the body, you know, Keelan Cole with the long deep ball protecting himself. I mean, that was an impressive game, and hope it's a big step forward that continues.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we feel the same way. I think, you know, I think one of the things that's difficult that maybe people on the outside can't really see is that when in the passing game, you know, like we think when we're growing up, hey, listen, hey, you run to the third car over there and make a right, you know what I'm saying? You stop before the sewer, you know, and the sewer is the first down. At least where I'm from, well, the sewer is
cow patties.
Yeah, the cow patties.
Go to the tree and turn
and things of that nature. But, you know, the timing, the feel of when people are sitting down and the trust level that you have, you know, it comes through a lot of preparation. And I think, you know, what you said before is that when you have a lot of people coming in and out and things of that nature, you know, it's hard to get that thing going. And I think that, you know, both the receivers and Blake, and obviously our running backs and our tight ends, you know, they've done a nice job of that no matter, you know, who it is, whether, you know, we lose Allen Hurns, who was a very productive player for us. Obviously we lost A-Rob early in the year, but, you know, we lose Allen for, you know, a couple of games, and hopefully he'll be back quickly, you know. And then all of a sudden Westbrook was injured and he's coming back. But you got to remember, these guys, you know, when they come back, they haven't been practicing and everything, and you got to get back to speed and get back to where the tempo is going to be and back to where they want to go, you know. And a quarterback, that's where experience comes in, because they remember, hey, listen, when he was playing before, I know he's going to be here. He's going to sit here. He's going to do this. So, you know, I'd say it's quite a bit more difficult, you know what I'm saying, than people see. And I think, you know, that's one of the things about the camera now. I was telling my son or a couple of his friends about, you know, when you see that the camera when it's behind the quarterback, mm-hmm. and you're seeing these throws, you know, it's like, you know, from multiple quarterbacks around the league, you're like, yeah, this is what they're seeing behind it. It's not like, you know, when you're a kid growing up and somebody's wide open, you're seeing these real tight windows that you get to get the ball in. And I think, you know, the one thing that I think Blake has done an outstanding job is in the red zone. I mean, I think that's where he's improved, and he's done an outstanding job there, and that's helped us score points and win games.
Speaking of that that camera look as you're talking about, because the network televisions have actually gone to showing some of the live plays like that, would you love to be able to see almost like game film from that vantage point, or TV from that vantage point? Because, you know, for teaching a quarterback, I mean, that's about as real of a look as it gets.
Yeah, I think maybe for the younger, you know what I'm saying, people that are trying to learn and do that. I mean, but I think, you know, I sit behind a quarterback every day in practice, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I can see exactly, you know what I'm saying, what's going on. I think a lot of us as coaches, you know, we're in the back, we're behind, we can see that. And, you know, it's just amazing, you know, at this level, I will say, you know, how the anticipation is, how close or how tight those windows are, especially as you move down the field. You know, I think it's easy to see someone run an in route and a post against quarter coverage and see the post come wide open, you know, because someone jumped the end. But I think when you go down into this red zone now, you know, it's tight. It's tight. Things happen faster. Things happen quicker. As you go down the field, it shrinks. And, you know, that's the one that gets hairy. When you look at that, you're like, oh, you know, you're always like, you're on the side. When you're on the sideline, it's a little bit tougher because you're like, ugh! You know, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, way to get it in there. You know what I'm saying? And things of that nature. But it's incredible at this level. And I think the angle and what you're talking about just shows how good, you know, these players are. I really believe that.
The NBC Skycam, I think, will be the primary camera coming up in the next Thursday night football game. Coach, big game, fun game. Should be a great atmosphere here with the Seahawks and the Jags. We'll look forward to it, Coach.
Appreciate it. So do I. Thank you.
Head Coach Doug Marrone joining us on the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Nobody wants to cover for 10 seconds, man. You know, it's hard enough covering guys for 3 and 4 seconds in this league. So when you have to cover a guy, man, for 7, 8, 9, 10 seconds, I mean, that's a tough challenge, man. It don't matter if, you know, it's a wide receiver for the Bulls High School, man. It's going to be tough to just chase a guy for 10 seconds, man. So it's going to be a challenge, man. And like I said, they got good receivers, man, who don't get enough credit. And you combine that with who I think is, you know, a top three tier quarterback in this league. It's going to be a challenge for sure, man. I think that's why we work drills to kind of get ourselves ready and prepared, man, because about 40% of his snaps, man, is not traditional drop back. It's him playing backyard football. Like, if this was Madden back in the day, we would say you only get 3 runs. You can only scramble 3 times, man. It's cheating. You know, you can't be scrambling that much, man, with a guy like that. So he got the cheat code for sure. So we got to be real disciplined on the back end for sure.
That's to Sean Gibson in the locker room this week. Jaguars safety discussing the play of Russell Wilson. The Doug Marrone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman.
I'm just glad he kind of related it to Madden, you know, because, I mean, you know, a lot of younger fans that grew up playing Madden football can kind of understand how that is.
No
now,
doubt.
I'm kind of a Madden I know nothing about Madden.
I mean, I've played a
couple times, and I've watched people play, and it's awesome. It's intriguing, but I never really got into it. I was actually, back in the day, was an NHL EA Sports hockey guy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's interesting what Tashaun is talking about there is about the amount of time that you have to cover with Russell Wilson. He's talking about 7 to 10 seconds in some cases. To give people an idea as far as the time frame, as a pass rusher or as a quarterback, you would like to be able to get the ball within, get rid of the ball as a quarterback within 3 seconds. As a pass rusher, you're trying to get to the quarterback at 3 seconds. That's, if you get there at 3 seconds, that's considered a good rush. So when I brought up the reference about, you know, Rocky chasing the chicken,
right?
You know, that's kind of what it is. You know, because, you know, he goes and he escapes to his left, and then all of a sudden he turns around and runs back to his right, and then he goes back to his left after 2 steps. I mean, that's how he can be. And so I think a lot of questions that people may have is, what, how do you play that style? You know, what type of coverages, what type of defenses? Well, there's a lot of terminology that can be applied when you're talking about Russell Wilson. One of them is off schedule, which is what he has made the play when he escapes. Now the play, the X's and O's part that they draw up in the playbook is now off. Okay? And so receivers, which, you know, back in the day, Jaguar fans know Jimmy and Keenan, those two guys were excellent because Mark had a tendency at times to make plays off schedule.
That's
his scrambling ability. Mm-hmm. And when it becomes off schedule, your wide receivers want to fight to get open. The deep ones typically will come shorter. The shallower ones will go deeper. And in some cases, you're moving laterally to try to find an opening. And the Seahawks do a great job with that, knowing the type of quarterback that they have. The offensive line also does a great job of not getting holding calls. Because, you know, when the quarterback departs out of the pocket, all of a sudden the offensive lineman, which, you know, you're taught to hold, but then when the defender wants to depart, you got to let go. And so they actually teach that. Tom Cable, the offensive line coach, assistant head coach, they teach that in Seattle because of the type of quarterback that they have. Another one, Plaster. Plaster is usually associated with like a zone coverage, which – in Russell Wilson's case, if you play a zone coverage and now he escapes the pocket, and a zone defender is typically taught, okay, find the guy in your zone. Now you lock on to a man, and wherever he goes, cover him. And so I think in the Seahawks' case, probably your best defense is going to be man, because if you're playing zone, you know, and all of a sudden you have somebody make a mistake on Plaster rules.
It just takes one, right?
It's a big play.
It takes one mistake.
That's correct. Yeah. Whereas man, the guy, you know, you're following the guy no matter where he goes. And if Russell Wilson extends a play, you know that you've got that guy and you just kind of stay with him. But, boy, it's going to be a challenging game because of all the things that he can create. On top of that, we didn't even talk much about Russell Wilson as a true runner. You know, the read options that he does.
Absolutely.
Designed run plays. I mean, he's leading their team in rushing that with over 6 yards a carry, which is ridiculous.
Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their 5 convenient lots. Tickets start at just $8. Logs, think about it over the break. How will the Jaguars score on offense this week?
I got the answer.
We're going to get it when we return. It's the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio.
They're going to, you know, load the box up and try and stop the run. It's kind of a staple of that defense and what they do. They take pride in that, I think, and they do a really good job of it. So we're going to have to be sharp trying to find ways how to run the ball, but we're also going to have to be able to take shots and try and loosen the box up a little bit.
There's Blake Bortles, Jaguars quarterback, discussing how they're going to move the ball against Seattle. The Doug Marone Show continues. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. I left you with this, Logs. How did the Jaguars score on offense?
Well, let me relate it to what Blake said. Okay, he talks about how good they are against the run, which they are. They're a top 10 defense against the run, I believe 7th overall in the National Football League at yards per game allowed. And Blake made the comment there, you know, that, you know, maybe we can throw the ball a little bit loose in the box.
Take some shots, sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. What I'm talking about is the Seahawks loosening the box. That's not how they play defense. You know, Pete Carroll, and he is the defensive mind of that football team, because if you look at all the coordinators that they've had through the years, the imprint of the defense and how they play has stayed the same. Whether it's been Gus Bradley, Dan Quinn, or Chris Richard, the current defensive coordinator, he believes in an 8-man box. And so you will see an 8-man box, obviously, until you get to 3rd and, you know, 7, 6+. You know, then he could change some things. But that's what he's always believed in. Stop the run first. Stop the run. And so the way that you beat this football team is that you have success, and it doesn't have to be great success, but you have enough success in the running game to where the Seahawks become conscious of it from a thought standpoint, from a reactive standpoint. Because if you look from looking at the film this week, some of the big plays that have happened against Seattle or the big plays that were there for the taking and the opponent didn't convert it were in play action. So if you're going to beat the Seattle defense, which, by the way, is better on the road than they are at home, they're allowing less points on the road than they have been compared
That's
to
weird.
Home, which is
strange.
Different, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
strange.
You think of, you
Benoit's
know, Seattle, 12th man. Well, yeah. They're averaging 15.5 points a game, okay, on the road. On the season, they're averaging 18.5. Okay, so there's your evidence. You know, so you've got to be able to run the ball effectively enough to make them start to have concern about it. But then you have to be willing to have the play action. And play action is first and second down material. So I think the Jaguars offensively, I think Nathaniel Hackett's got to be willing to have some play action stuff on early downs. And the reality is that even though the talk is about how good they are, even though they're missing components, the reality is they're not as good without the components that they've lost. Okay, Bradley McDougal, who has been starting at strong safety for Cam Chancellor, he's not Cam Chancellor. He's one of those guys that loves to come running up in the run game, and he's susceptible to play action. I'm sure they're very aware of that. They don't miss a thing. The corner who is starting for Richard Sherman, and they've mixed and matched different guys. Mm-hmm. They're not as good as Richard Sherman. So you've
not
got
many are, right.
And on the other side, it's a rookie from Central Florida, Shaquille Griffin. You know, so give the impression that you're going to run it play action to take advantage of some of the changes in the secondary. Because Richard Sherman, you know, when he's in the secondary or when Cam Chancellor's got great experience. Play action, no problem. Okay, McDougal, not the same animal here, okay? And Richard Sherman worries about, you know, covering the guy that he's over the top of, okay? Well, Seattle sometimes has to play some corner force, you know, so those guys are kind of concerned about that. Hey, young players in the secondary, you got to be aggressive, you know, because, you know, it's a good football team.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you're not going to treat the Seahawks like you would the Cleveland Browns, you know? You're just not. Because they're too good of a football team to expect your defense just to win it.
When we come back, a little more Jags defensive talk. Check out the Salute to Service Holiday Auction benefiting military members and their families. The Jags are partnering with NFL teams across the country and Fanatics for an auction featuring autographed memorabilia. It ends at midnight Monday, December 11th. Check out the items at fanaticsauctions.com/Jaguars Military. This is the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Definitely see an agile guy that can get out the pocket and he can make a lot of plays with his feet. So, you know, definitely just got to be disciplined this week rushing, but it just can't take away from our game. Just as pass rushers, can't take it away. Just I've seen a lot of film guys just rushing and try to contain, but you still got to try to rush to win.
That's Unique Ngakoue, Jaguars defensive end. The Doug Marone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, your eyes lit up there when he said that.
Well, he's dead on the money, you know, because he talked about, you know, you've seen teams kind of try to corral him to keep him in the pocket, and it doesn't matter. I mean, you can have the perfect, you know, distribution in your rush, and he's still going to escape the pocket and extend the play. And what he talked about there about rush to win, you can't be afraid. You got to rush to win. You got to take your shots at Russell Wilson. And what you'd like to have when you play a Russell Wilson is you'd like to have a Unique Ngakoue, mm-hmm. who has great hips, change of direction and speed, and a Dante Fowler, maybe, okay, that runs extremely well, super fast, and when he arrives in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Okay, and can deliver a big-time hit against the quarterback. You know, I mean, this is the type of game that those two guys – I think can really shine to where people take notice of them because you know what? They can chase the chicken now. Okay.
Right.
Okay. They can do it now. Yep. And Calais Campbell, he has more career sacks against Russell Wilson than any other quarterback. And I think he's going to be able to pass on some knowledge to that room about facing, you know, a quarterback who has great mobility. And let me add this. Mm-hmm. Malik Jackson over the last couple weeks has been the best interior pass rusher in their sub situations that they've had, which he's been, I think, better than Calais the last two games. I think he has a great opportunity against Luke Jokel because Malik has power, but Malik also has the ability to make a guy miss. And Jokel, even we talked about it here for many years, he has a tendency sometimes to where his head drops, okay? And when his head drops because he's concerned about power, because he does get powered still at the guard position at times, and then the little swim move is a nice complimentary move. I think it's a great matchup for Malik if he's over Luke Jokel, and I think it's a great matchup for Calais Campbell for the right guard. Now, that's if they continue to play the rookie, Posick, who is a second-round draft pick out of LSU. He's the right guard, okay? Jokel's the left guard, which is typically where Malik lines up a lot of times. And then Calais a lot of times lines up on the left side as over the right guard, so that would be the matchup against the rookie Posick. And he is a big, like a tall, he's a tall guy. And Calais has that you know, just uncanny ability to power rush guys back into the quarterback, but it's a steady power rush. And I think it's something that Posick would struggle with.
So this defensive line matches up pretty well with this quarterback set if they can get the
this
the
defensive
ends going,
line matches up good against anybody.
But push it, in the middle with the
yes,
ends,
with the great
helps,
speed on right? the edge, yeah. You know, on a quarterback that can do crazy things outside the pocket. I think it's a great matchup, and to me, it's the most anticipated part of the game.
Fun to watch.
Oh, I can't
fun
wait.
Fun to watch them chase that chicken around.
I can't
oh, okay. No Kentucky Fried Idiots over here. Yeah. No.
You know, and here's the best part, okay? We're scheduled to have a little fried chicken in the booth.
Oh.
Okay, on Sunday.
How convenient.
So that might be
you might get a visitor in the
might
booth.
Might be a sign.
Might get a visitor in the booth.
Come on.
I might come on up.
Come on.
When we come back, we'll get to this week's schedule. What's ahead for the Jaguars the remainder of the week ahead of this matchup against the Seahawks? This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Like I'll ask the team, what does that do? Is that going to help us win the game? You know, and try to just present it that way. I think whatever's on the outside, that's great. That's awesome. We don't want people not to talk about it. That's fine. That's great. They deserve that and should and all of that. So, you know, we acknowledge that part of it. But we also have to acknowledge the part of, hey, we have to be focused, you know, on what we've been doing, you know, and get better at some things, you know, so that we can be able to perform on Sunday. And all the other stuff that's going on around is pulling away from that. And let's keep our focus like we have been. And that's pretty much how I explain it to them.
There's head coach Doug Marrone earlier this week. Could have just taken that from earlier in the show. It sounded pretty familiar. The Doug Marrone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. There's hype around the game. Yes, it's 2-8-4 football teams, but that head coach is locked in to the first game of the final quarter, Jeff.
I think Doug does a great job with the team being focused. You know, I think the one thing that's impressed me is that part of it, and this game is a challenging game. But look, you know what? I'm a believer in that. Sometimes a little bit of hype, you know, that surrounds a game, is a good thing, you know, because guys want to elevate their level of play when you play the best. And the Seattle Seahawks are considered one of the best teams in the National Football League. At least, I mean, I was kind of that way. I mean, the better the team was, the better I wanted to play. I mean, I still wanted to play good against all the teams, but I think it was always a little extra motivation. You know, when, back in the day, you're going to face the Buffalo Bills and Jim Kelly and the K-Gun, Thurman Thomas, you know.
Yeah, you might want to play well against them, yeah.
Heck yeah.
Sure.
You know, going to face, you know, the other good teams of that era. You know, the Dallas Cowboys, the San Francisco 49ers, Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, bring them on. I mean, that's kind of was the attitude. And I think that, look, that Doug's talked at length before about this team, about how he's doesn't never really worried about them being tight. He says, you know, this is a pretty loose group.
Mm-hmm.
I think this defense has the attitude that bring them on. We'll take all challengers. And they're out to prove something. and you're the number one defense, okay? Seattle has been known for being one of the best defenses over the last, you know, 6 or 7 years or whatever
right.
it's been.
Yeah.
You know, so here's an opportunity for the Jaguars defense. I don't want to say to make a statement, but to show what they got. You know, because as players, I mean, you play this game for respect. You play the game to win. And what better way to get respect than to beat a good football team at your place and a team that has had a great defense for many years?
Jags are on the practice field Friday for the final time of the week. They'll have a walkthrough on Saturday and then game time Sunday. 4:25 is the kickoff time here at Everbank Field.
Get to watch a little early football now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well done, Logs. For those on our flagship in Jacksonville, Jaguars Thursday is coming up next. Tony Boselli will join us from Thursday Night Football in Atlanta. Thanks for listening to the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.